Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is found written in Jeremiah the prophet, reading in the 15th chapter, verses 15 through 21. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, one of the big questions that people have in their minds when they apply for a new job, for a different position perhaps with the company they're working for, or when they leave one profession and venture into a new one, what kind of wage will my new employment position offer? What perks will it give? What will the health insurance benefits be and other fringe goodies? Now, hopefully, whatever the employment position that you are currently holding, whatever it happens to be, it is providing for you, it is enabling you to pay your bills, meet your expenses, so you can provide for yourself and for your family. It's great for us to know as Christians, whatever your life vocation is, that your God promises to provide you for all of your material needs. He tells you, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, prayerfully put me first in your heart and life, matters pertaining to your eternal welfare, and all these things related to this life will be provided to you. So you'll never have to worry that you won't have enough to live on. Now this morning, we want to flip that script, switch gears, so to speak, and consider the Bible's answer to the question, what kind of wages does the job pay of working for the Lord? As a Sunday school teacher, or a church elder, or as an usher, or as an other church worker, and more generally, as Christians in service to Jesus in our daily walk of life as His disciples in the people around us. I'm going to note how sometimes we may think that we deserve something better from the Lord. The Lord, the God of mercy and love, gives us much more than we deserve. First, some information about Jeremiah the prophet, who penned the words of our text upon which today's message is based. Jeremiah was hired on, actually called by the Lord, received a divine call to be a preacher and a prophet at a young age, may have been only like in his early 20s. And the word of the Lord came to him at that early point in his life, saying, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. It's back in Jeremiah 1. The job God was calling him to do was not an easy one. It was to preach a message of repentance to his fellow countrymen of Judah who were living godless lives, to urge them to turn back to the Lord with humble, repentant hearts. And he also preached a message of comfort for believers in Judah, reassuring them of God's love and his plan to graciously send Jesus as mankind's Savior, be about 600 years later. Jeremiah, we're told, spent the first 20 years of his prophetic ministry under a godly king in Judah whose name was Josiah. We're told that this king, Josiah, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in all the ways of David, his father, not turning aside to the right or left. Josiah abolished idol worship in his realm and the immoral practices associated with it. He restored the true worship of Jehovah at the Jerusalem temple. But when King Josiah died, by the way, he became king when he was 8, and then he served the Lord for 39 years, but he was then sadly killed in battle with the Egyptians when he was shot by an archer. When he died, things spiraled downward once again in Judah. People fell back into idolatry. The message of God's forgiveness, a need for repentance and forgiveness of sins in the coming Messiah, fell on deaf ears. The moral fabric of the Judean society unraveled. The people became entangled again in the spiritually depraved lifestyle of the godless world. And Jeremiah warned, disaster's coming. God is going to allow your nation to be destroyed by a foreign power as punishment for your wickedness. Jerusalem will be pillaged, the people deported, but turn to the Lord in repentant faith. Plead for his mercy. He's eager to forgive you. The people said, Jeremiah, why don't you preach a positive message? You're just a messenger of gloom and doom. And it did not help that there were false prophets who were speaking an opposing message. They said, Jeremiah, that messenger of gloom, don't listen to him. Days of peace and good fortune lie ahead. Have no worries. Eventually, things spiraled down so badly in Judah, things got so bad for Jeremiah that his enemy detractors grabbed him and they lowered him with ropes into an empty cistern where, probably hoping that he would die, he sank down into the mud until some sympathetic soul came and rescued him. Tradition says that Jeremiah eventually had to flee to Egypt for safety, and that's probably where he was when the Lord called him home to heaven. But back to our text, we hear Jeremiah's response to all these troubles that he was experiencing as a hired hand for the Lord. He said, you understand, O Lord, remember me and care for me, avenge me on my persecutors. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that dries up? He was questioning Jeremiah in his weakness, the goodness of the Lord, comparing him to a stream that dries up when there is a bad drought, which you can't count on always being there. He accused the Lord of being unfair. Is this the pay that I deserve for serving you all these years? Shouldn't you be helping me, Lord, to enjoy a life that's filled with pleasant things and not difficult things? By the way, that's not an unusual lament among God's people down through the centuries of time. In the book of Psalms, the cry is often heard. You may have noticed that in your psalm reading. Like in Psalm 13, King David wrote, "Will you forget me forever, Lord? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart?" Or Asaph in Psalm 77, "Will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished? Has his promise failed for all time? Has he forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" And there are other similar psalms. Friends, don't we also have similar thoughts in our weakness at times when things aren't running so smoothly in our lives, when we experience heartaches and hardships? Do we sometimes think that, you know, we really deserve something better from God for our efforts in serving him? Maybe we don't vocalize it the way Jeremiah did, but maybe even unintentionally accusing the Lord and without realizing it of breaking his promises to us, as though we deserved better from him, chafing under crosses that he calls upon us to carry. Let's remember when that happens, let's remember God's words to Jeremiah. He called on the prophet to confess his sin of grumbling and dissatisfaction, and that he was actually, in doing that, speaking, as the Lord says here, worthless words. He reminded him he didn't deserve really anything from the Lord. Being a sinner, what he deserved is to be punished and thrown down not just into a cistern, but into the pit of hell. This humble, sorrowful admission, friends, was a big part of what Jesus was talking about in his conversation with Peter that day on the road. The bearing of the cross of self-denial for Jesus' sake, even through crosses of suffering, just as the Lord went to Calvary, carried his cross all the way there for us. He says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The Lord wants you and me to confess. You know, if he would mark our iniquities, we'd have no hope of standing before him. If he treated us as our sins deserve, our sins of complaining and chafing under crosses and all other transgressions against the Ten Commandments, harboring unkind thoughts towards others, speaking uncharitable words, and so forth, we would not be able to stand before him. But the unbelievably amazing truth of the gospel is that Jesus, he did not deserve any of the suffering he experienced. As God's holy lamb, he ought not to have encountered any trouble, pain, opposition from his foes, or persecution. No crucifixion did he deserve, and yet he went willingly to the cross in love for us, suffering hell's pangs in our stead so that we might be freely given what we don't deserve. That's the message of comfort the Lord shared with his hired hand, Jeremiah, also in our text. And he also gives to us, he graciously gives us, his believing, repentant children, what we do not deserve. We read in our text the Lord's words to the prophet, "If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you. Let them come and listen to you, but you must not turn to them, follow their evil ways. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They'll fight against you but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. So the Lord was assuring his prophet of his daily comfort, help, and strength in his life of service to the Lord. He would enable, and he did enable Jeremiah to serve as a prophet for over 40 years. Jeremiah would later share, it's about 20 chapters after our text, these golden words of messianic prophecy from chapter 31. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And the beauty in chapter 33 of Jeremiah, the prophecy, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. You know who that refers to. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Christ Jesus our righteousness, who went to the cross for us that we might be forgiven and saved. One other scripture I'd like to share that really shows how the God of grace gives us way more than we deserve as we hired hands work for him with thankful hearts. It's a story, if you know the story, the man who came to Jesus on the road one day with a question. He said, good teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded to his query by saying, why do you call me good? Because he didn't recognize who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, the Lord of righteousness, yet. He said, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Do this, and you'll live. And the fellow answered, I've done that from the time I was little. And the Bible says Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The man went away with a long face because he was a man of affluence. And that's when Jesus turned to the crowd and to his disciples, and he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And flabbergasted the disciples at this answer of Jesus, and who then can be saved, they said, because whose heartstrings are not oftentimes attached to the material things and are given first place in the heart ahead of God, who can be saved then? Jesus looked at them and said, all things are possible with God. Peter then said, Lord, see, we've left everything and followed you. And then comes, this is a section I was especially coming to, wanting to stress, where Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, along with persecutions, trouble because of our connection to Christ from the world. And then he says, in the age to come, everlasting life. Wow. That, friends, is the pay that we get from the Lord in His mercy. Many blessings in this life, and finally, life in the world to come. So let's thank Him for the privilege that He has given to us to go to work for Him, either as called workers of the church, serving under a divine call, or serving Him in our daily faith walk as disciples in the people with whom we have to do in our circle of life, family members, in your marriage relationship, as parents, serving your children, though it involves sacrifice of time, effort, and sweat. Let us nonetheless rejoice to know we can count on the Lord to strengthen us like a bronze wall, help us, and bless our labors, just as He did for Jeremiah, giving us, for the sake of His mercy and love, much more than we deserve. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free Spirit.